You are listening to Pathways, a ministry of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, guest speaker Ross Pepper will be discussing and looking at the word whoever. That one word unrolls a personal welcome and invitation to all to heaven. Our scripture text comes from Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32. Today's message is entitled, Heaven's Whoever Policy.
I heard about a middle-aged husband and wife. She was sitting on the couch, and he was laying on the couch with his head in her lap. She took off his glasses, and she said, "You know, when I take your glasses off, you look just like that handsome 25-year-old kid that I fell in love with 25 years ago today." He said, "Yes, and when you take my glasses off, you look pretty good too." Time changes us on the outside, but it need not change us on the inside. And certainly, it hasn't changed the love that these two share together. Well, so they're in a celebration in Kentucky. I believe in his blog that John mentioned in that he was poor when he was growing up. You may know that from other situations and conversations that you've had with him. But I want to tell you how poor John's family was. You know, Kentucky Fried Chicken is finger-licking good. Well, his family was so poor, they went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and they licked other people's fingers. That's how poor they were. That's pretty poor, isn't it? I heard that the Vatican bought a new limousine for the Pope. The limo was long and sleek and complete with tinted glass. The Pope came out to see that limo, and he was so impressed that he said, "You know, I haven't driven a car for years. I'd like to take this car for a spin." And so he drove the car out into the streets of Rome. And the Pope got carried away, and he got stopped for speeding, going 55 in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. Well, the policeman came up to the window, and he was kind of shocked. He said, "Your Holiness, could you wait right here for a minute?" And he went back to the squad car and called headquarters. He said, "Chief, I know there's supposed to be a mandatory fine for anybody going 20 miles per hour over the speed limit, but I've just stopped somebody really important, and I need to know what to do." The chief said, "Well, is he more important than the president of Italy?" The policeman said, "Yeah, I believe he is." "Well, is he more important than the president of the United States?" "Yeah, I believe he is." Well, the chief said, "Well, who is he?" He said, "I don't know." "You don't know? What do you mean you don't know? Who is that important?" He said, "I don't know who he is, but his chauffeur is the Pope." Isn't that the way the world evaluates our importance? We get so impressed with people and power and prestige. But God evaluates our importance equally by the use of one word. And that word is whoever. I'd like for us to look just at that one word tonight. In John 3, verse 16, famous passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Cleopatra's needle. That'll be on the screen. Workers constructed this huge column 3,500 years ago as a gift for one of the pharaohs of Egypt. But on September the 12th, 1878, the British government planted this granite column in English soil and assigned it vigil over the Thames River in London. A minister named Frank Borum. Isn't that an awful name for a minister? Borum? Maybe you've heard some of his relatives. Well, he was there to watch this 3,500-year-old relic lifted from horizontal to vertical. Now, he was not a minister at the time. At the time, he was only 7 years old, and he described this great granite column smothered with hieroglyphics. Pharaohs had passed by it on chariots. Moses had likely studied on its steps. And now it stood on a London waterway. Someday, perhaps, when Britain goes the way of Egypt, excavators may come and excavate and discover this huge box. And they may discover a slice of Victorian England. They will discover at its base a set of coins, children's toys, a city directory, photos of the 12 most beautiful women in the world, and in 215 languages, one verse. What verse do you suppose is there? Today I want us to look at that one word, whoever. I want you to circle that word. Put a star by that word. That one word unrolls the welcome mat of heaven. Whoever invites the world to God. Now, Jesus could have narrowed the scope by changing whoever to whatever. Whatever Jew believes. Whatever woman follows. But Jesus used no qualifier. After all, who isn't a whoever? Jesus used that word several times. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." Verses later, Jesus said, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." In the next book, Jesus said, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." At the end of that book, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." A couple of books over, in John, the 3rd chapter, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life." John 4, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst." John 6, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." In John, the 11th chapter, Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And this same John, at the end of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, in verse 17, he said, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." God's gospel has a whoever policy. The apostle Paul worded it this way. In Titus 2, Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Peter worded it this way in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. He said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." We need to know this. The downturns of life can create such a sad state of affairs that we wonder if God even wants us. Now, in revealing God's whoever policy, Jesus told 3 stories. First of all, Jesus tells us a story in Luke, the 16th chapter, about Lazarus, a beggar. Now, Jesus told a lot of stories, but in this particular story, Jesus used names. Jesus never used names. And this is the only story that Jesus told that people call parables that had names. I believe it was because these were real people. In Luke 16, verse 19, we see act one of the story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. The King James Bible says of this man, he fared sumptuously. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. In this life, there was a contrast between Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man was in comfort in this life. Lazarus lived in sores. The rich man fared sumptuously. Lazarus begged for crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Now, we like to fare sumptuously, don't we? I don't think that any of us fare sumptuously every day. We look forward to the North American Christian Convention. Kentucky boys look forward to it because we get to go to the big city and we get to celebrate with other Christians. But one of the things we like to do, we like to taste something of the local flavor of that city. In Kansas City, the convention will be there in a couple of years. We like to go get a Kansas City steak. Or when the convention is in St. Louis, we want some of those famous St. Louis ribs. In Louisville, we go to the Brown Hotel and eat one of those Kentucky hot browns. But in Cincinnati, we had our grandkids with us, and we were working in registration, so we were eating out of a cooler most of the time. We didn't fare so sumptuously. But this man fared sumptuously every day. Maybe Lazarus is an exception. Maybe Lazarus doesn't qualify as a whoever. Now, in this drama, the curtain falls on Act 1, and the eternal destiny is revealed in Act 2. Chapter 16, verse 22, the time came when the beggar died. The angels carried him to Abraham's side. The angels were his pallbearers. The rich man also died. He was buried. The implication is Lazarus wasn't buried. Poor people, beggars, were just cast aside on a heap of garbage. The Bible says of the rich man in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So Lazarus and the rich man exchanged fates. Fortunes were switched. Lazarus is now in comfort. The rich man is in pain. Lazarus is faring sumptuously. But the rich man hasn't changed as much as we would like to think that he had changed at this time. Because a little later in this story, he calls for Lazarus to go and dip his finger in the water and cool his tongue. Because he sees Lazarus still as kind of a servant. Well, there are three aspects of this one word that I want us to see today. Number one, whoever means however. Whoever means however. God takes you however he finds you. No need to clean up or climb up. Just look up. God's whoever policy has a however benefit. You see, Lazaruses still populate this planet, and you may be one, not begging for bread, but struggling. And you might ask the question, does God have a place for people in my place? I heard about one of our missionaries who was coming home from China before World War II when China was open to missionaries. And he was a medical missionary riding on a train with four salesmen. And he was trying to think of some way to communicate the gospel with those salesmen. But when he tried to press the claims of the gospel, after bringing out a map of China and sharing his experiences and telling them of some of his missionary endeavors, he pressed the claims of Christ, and three out of those four salesmen got up and left. Only one remained. He turned to the one and said, "Don't you want Jesus to be your Savior?" The salesman said, "I don't know. I guess so. I guess I've always wanted to be a Christian, but I don't know. What difference does it make? What difference will it make if I become a Christian? So the old missionary opened his Bible to 1 John, the second chapter, and he read these words. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And he explained that that word advocate means a defense attorney. And that word propitiation means a covering. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, he becomes our defense attorney. He never loses a case. He defends us. He advocates on our behalf, and he covers our sins. The old salesman said, I don't know, Doc. I don't know if I can live the life. He said, tell me, Doc, what if I become a Christian and I skid? What happens if a man becomes a Christian and he skids? The old doctor thought about it for a minute, and he opened up his Bible to the same passage in 1 John, the second chapter, and he read it this way. My little children, these things I write to you that you skid not. But if any man skids, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our skids, and not for ours only, but for the skids of the whole world. That explains, however, to me, we're all sinners. Whoever means however. Second, whoever means whenever. See, heaven's whoever policy has a whenever clause. Whenever you hear God's voice, he welcomes your response. Now, Jesus told another story of 11th hour grace. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, Jesus told a story about a man who owned a vineyard, and he went out early in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning to get workers to work in his vineyard. But he didn't have enough, and so at 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out and got more workers and brought them to work. And then at noon, he went and got more workers. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, even at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 hour before quitting time, he went and he hired more workers. But the men who were hired early grumbled when the landowner paid the 1 hour workers the same as the full day workers. They claimed the grace was not fair, that this landowner offered those who only worked for 1 hour. That's just exactly what grace is. It's not fair. Not fair. And in Matthew 20, verse 13, he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired the last same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? God's whoever policy has a whenever clause. The third, whoever means wherever. Wherever. Wherever you are, you're not too far from home. Jesus told a third story, this one in Luke, the 15th chapter. The prodigal son, though, assumed that he was too far from home to go back. Charles Dickens calls this the greatest short story ever written. He had rejected his father's love. He had journeyed to a far country. He had wasted his father's inheritance. Now, the word translated wasted in this story of the prodigal son is the same Greek verb used to describe the action of a seed-sowing farmer. Envision him throwing handfuls of seed into freshly tilled earth. Envision the prodigal tossing his father's money at greedy merchants. A roll of bills at one club, a handful of coins at another. He rides a magic carpet of cash from one party to the next. And then one day, his wallet grows thin. The credit card comes back. He slides from high hog at the trough to low pig in the mud. He finds employment feeding pigs. Not a recommended career path. The hunger so gnaws at him, he considers eating with the pigs. But rather than swallow the pods of the pigs, he swallows his pride and engages himself in that long walk homeward, rehearsing a repentant speech with each step. But the Father was waiting for him. Unlike the shepherd who went after the one of the 100 sheep that went astray, unlike the woman who had lost a coin and searched, the Father did not search. The Father waited because he knew it wouldn't do any good to search anyway. And so he waited. The Bible says in verse 20 of chapter 15 of Luke, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. In fact, this is the only time that I know of in the Bible where God is pictured as being in a hurry. He is in a hurry to forgive. Whoever means however. And whenever. And wherever. Reader's Digest several years ago told about a lady named Emma who was suffering from dementia, being moved to Florida by her daughter so that she could live in a mobile home near the daughter, and the daughter could keep an eye on Emma and her health. And as they traveled down Interstate 75 toward Florida, they passed on the interstate a brand new mobile home being towed down the interstate. And the daughter joked, "Mom, there goes our house." But they weren't finished. They passed a caravan of 7 identical trucks rolling southward. And as they passed the last truck towing a mobile home, Emma said, "And there goes the neighborhood." Regardless of your neighborhood, God has a policy to cover you. I love to hear my wife say, "Whoever." Sometimes I detect my favorite fragrance coming from the kitchen, chocolate chip cookies. And I follow the smell like a bird dog follows a trail until I'm standing over the just-baked cookies. "Who are these for?" I ask. "For a birthday party. Don't touch. For a friend. Stay away." But sometimes she might say, "Whoever." And since I'm a whoever, I say yes. Heaven's whoever policy. No status too low. There is a however benefit. No hour too late. There's a whenever clause. No place too far. There is a wherever inclusion. Milton Cunningham was a missionary and was flying by plane from Atlanta to Dallas. And when he boarded the plane, he sat down in the middle seat on one side of the aisle, and sitting beside the window of the plane was a little girl who obviously had Down syndrome. And the young girl began to ask him some simple but almost offensive questions. "Mister," she said to Cunningham, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And Cunningham was shocked at the question. He squirmed a little bit, and then he said, "Well, yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." The young girl said, "Good, because you're supposed to brush your teeth." Then she asked, "Mister, do you smoke?" Again, Cunningham was caught off guard, but he told her with a little chuckle that no, he didn't smoke. She said, "Good, because smoking will make you die." Then she said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" Cunningham was really caught by the simplicity and the forthrightness of her questions, and he smiled and said, "Well, yes, honey, I do love Jesus." The little girl with Down syndrome smiled and said, "Good, because we're all supposed to love Jesus." About that time, just before the plane was ready to leave, another man came and sat down on the aisle seat. Now get the picture. The Down syndrome girl by the window, Cunningham in the middle, and the stranger sat down and began to read a magazine. And the little girl nudged Cunningham and said, "Mister, ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning." Cunningham was a little uneasy, and he said he didn't want to do it. But she kept nudging him. "Ask him, ask him." So Cunningham turned to the man next to him and said, "Mister, I don't want to bother you, but my little friend over here asked me to ask you that if you brushed your teeth this morning." The little man looked startled, but he looked past Cunningham at the little girl, and he could tell her good intentions, so he took her question in stride, and with a smile, he said, "Yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." As the plane taxied onto the runway, the young girl nudged Cunningham a second time and said, "Ask him if he smokes." And so good-naturedly, Cunningham did, and the man said he didn't smoke. As the plane was lifting into the air, the little girl nudged Cunningham and said, "Ask him if he loves Jesus." Cunningham said, "I can't do that. That's too personal. I don't feel comfortable asking him that question." But the little girl insisted, "Ask him, ask him." So Cunningham turned to his friend one more time and said, "Now she wants me to ask you if you love Jesus." Well, the man could have responded the way he had the two previous questions, with a smile on his face, a little chuckle in his voice. But his face became very serious. And finally he said to Cunningham, "You know, in all honesty, I can't say that I do. It's not that I don't want to, it's just that I don't know how to. I don't know how to love Jesus. I've wanted to be a person of faith, but I haven't known how to do it. And now I've come to a place in my life when I really need that faith." As the plane soared through the air between Atlanta and Dallas, Milton Cunningham listened to this fellow talk about his own brokenness and problems. And then he shared his own personal story and testimony. And he explained how to become a Christian. He did all of that because a little girl with Down syndrome asked him to ask a fundamental question that all of us need to find some way of communicating. Do you love Jesus? Heaven's whoever policy, however, whenever, wherever. What a change. Let's stand together and let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have just to sit and worship, to stand and sing about the one who loved us so much that he gave himself and paid in full the penalty for our sins. We thank you for this love. Show that love through our lives. Today, tomorrow, this week at work. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you would like to know more about that, we have men and women up front who will help you, who will guide you every step of the way. If you have a prayer need, or if you want to become a Christian, if you have something on your heart that you need to talk to somebody about, take this opportunity to talk to somebody who loves you, loves this church, wants to help people like you.
Thanks for listening to this message, Heaven's Whoever Policy, with guest speaker Ross Pepper. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please visit our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-88-GRACE. 884-7223.